Channel 1 Riot, beginning of Mr. Eastman this Wednesday, the 4th of December, 74. Channel 1 Riot, beginning of Mr. Eastman this Wednesday, the 4th of December, 74.
Yeah, we got some fresh juice there.
Yeah.
Oh.
You never get enough juice.
I heard yesterday, you see, that John Palmer was about done.
Yeah.
So, geez, I come back to the store, or I went down to the store, and I asked him in the store, and they said, well, he's just about the same as he was yesterday, and that they was going to move him into a different room. Well, just about that time, his sister come in the store. So I asked her if she'd heard anything new from John. And, she started to bawl. And she says, you know, John is done. Well, I says, I feel just about as bad about it as you do, because John has always been just like a brother to me, and I've always thought as much of him as I do my own brothers. And, well, she said that they appreciated that, and they knew that I thought an awful lot of John the way I sent him flowers when he was in Ocala in the hospital, see. Well, I says, as soon as he gets into another room by himself so that he can up in Gainesville, I'm going to send him some more flowers. She began to sniffle again, and she says, you ain't going to have to.
Oh.
So I know they haven't given him much hope, you know, from the time that he was first shot. But they thought that he was having a little more feeling come back into his, you see, he was paralyzed from his back down.
Mm-hmm.
But he was having a little more feeling come in, and they said he could wiggle his toes, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that showed that he was a gaining in one way. But, Jesus, I don't know. I haven't heard anything this morning, but that's what his sister, and she was on her way up there to the hospital when she stopped in at the store.
Oh, I see. We were down at the store yesterday.
You were down.
Yeah, and that was his sister, the sister I hadn't seen. She just talks right along, Miss Eastman. You can find out something from her. Now, maybe both his sisters talk.
Yeah, well, he's got three sisters there at home, you know.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. I thought this one didn't live at his home place.
Well, I don't think she does.
Uh-huh.
No, she got a home of her own, but I guess that John takes care of her just the same as he does the other two. Of course, the other two there, one of them was a school teacher all of her life, and the other, I guess, worked in an office somewhere, see? But when their mother got bad, the one of them come home first.
Uh-huh.
Well, then the school teacher, she was teaching school in Georgia. You see, they've got a brother up there in Georgia someplace, I don't know just where.
He's the one that raises them big pecans.
Yeah. They sold 150 tons of pecans a year ago. Now, that's a lot of pecans, you know it?
Oh,
you mean that many? Man alive.
Yeah, that's what John told me. They sold over 150 tons of pecans.
150 bushels, 150...
But tons, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Well, Jesus, John had, I'll bet he had a ton of them down here.
Yeah.
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 Jesus, he was selling a pile of them, you know, them goddamn bags. was about that big around, you know, and I stood up about that high, and I guess it had about 200 pounds in the bag.
Yeah.
Because, Jesus, it was all the two men could do to wiggle a bag of them things there, you know.
Yeah. I don't guess I ever saw him handle, Mr. Eastman.
You see, this man Penley lives up there not too far from this brother. And when Penley come down with a truck, he brought him down.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, you haven't seen the brother.
Huh?
You haven't seen the brother.
Haven't seen who?
The brother.
No. Not lately.
But you have seen him.
Yeah.
You have seen Mr. Palmer's brother up there.
Yeah.
You know him.
I see him once down there in the store, but Jesus, I wouldn't know him if I see him out around here somewhere.
Yeah. You didn't talk to him?
Not too much.
Yeah. Well, I guess if he got that many pecans, Mr. Eastman, he's an important feller in the community, wouldn't you think?
Right, well to do.
But John's got a bunch of them pecans down here now, you know. Geez, you know, 85 cents a pound.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. 10 pounds for $7 and a half.
Think of that. That's about the price of sugar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just as bad.
Yeah. But it seems to me, what were we talking about down at your house when I stopped by there?
God, I don't know, I forgot.
I was trying to say.
Hello?
Oh.
Yes,
sir.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
he has left this morning at 6 o'clock for,
I just love pecans.
Yeah.
Huh?
I love pecans.
Yeah.
I could just eat a whole.
All right.
Well, I like good fresh pecans.
We're looking for market. We're looking for.
It's hard. I can't hardly chew them, you know.
Keep your.
I used them, but my teeth are bad now.
We got to make a go of this.
How about this?
Oh, Jesus. Just not too much now. Whoa.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think there's some seeds there.
All right.
Can you manage nothing?
All right. We need a market, and I've got a woman from down the far side of the county who's going to take a little hand in it, I think. So we'll see about that. Right, see you, Mark. Mr. How's your citrus crop, Mr. Eastman?
Well, we haven't got as many as what we had last year.
You had a good crop last year.
Well, we had quite a few. And Evelyn brought in two. Or I don't know how many she brought in, but she got out two of them navel oranges. They was about that big around.
Yeah.
This morning for me to squeeze the juice out.
Oh.
Jesus, I cut one of them in two, and one of them made two glasses.
Uh-huh.
So all I had to use was one. And Jesus, it was nice and sweet. You
yeah.
see that cold weather, you know, just sweetened them up.
Yeah.
Navel.
Yeah.
They were navels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a few of them early Richardsons, not too many. We got, well, I don't know, 40, 50, I guess, of them. So. Then we got a few of them Parson Browns. There's a few of them white ones, them Valencias. That is, they were supposed to be a Valencia, but Jesus, the Valencias, you know, aren't supposed to get ripe until spring. But these come right along pretty good, so that I sometimes wonder if they are Valencias.
Yeah.
I bought the tree for a Valencia when I bought it, but.
Yeah. Well, it tastes good. That's the chief thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I went up to that Doc Strange's funeral yesterday morning.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, when I got up there, oh, there was probably 25 men standing outside there. And they was coming and going and registering, and the couples were going in the church. So I went over and registered, and I followed along in the church, and Jesus, I see there's all women in there. Well, in the back, on the back side there was 15 or 20 of these steel chairs set back in there, and this funeral director says to me, back in there. So, geez, I went back and I thought, geez, I'd get clear over in the corner, get out of the other one's way so they wouldn't have to step over me going by. So I went over there and sat down. Geez, I see that there wasn't only one other fellow in there, and that was Bill Latin, you know. Gene Latin worked for Doc Strange in the office down there so long, and she and him was sitting in there. And I was the only other fellow sitting down in there. The rest of them was all women in there, and the church was pretty near filled up. Well, Jesus, they kept coming in, and they got all filled up, and these women started filling in these metal chairs. Well, God, the first thing I knew, the metal chairs was all filled up with women, and here I was back in the corner alone. So I thought I'd better get out of there. So I stood up, and there was a couple of women come in, and they were looking, and just one of them come on over here. She says, no, she says, you're older than I am, you keep your seat. I said, no, you come on. And I walked along on out, and she says, she come over and took the seat there. And I went outdoors, and geez, you know, there was about, 100 or better men out there by that time. And, you know, they was a shivering out there in that cold wind and shaking. You'd have thought for some of them hula dancers dancing the hula out there the way they were shivering and shaking. And I said to myself, by gee, now this ain't no place for old art. But God, you catch your death of cold. I said, I'm going home. So I went over and got in my car and come home. Mm-hmm. But gee, there was an awful crowd there. And I bet there were between 50 and 100 colored ones.
Oh. Is that right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were. Yeah.
And there was one colored woman there that I thought was the best dressed woman in the whole bunch. Boy, now she was really dolled, and don't you think she wasn't.
Yeah. What'd she look like?
Huh?
What'd she have on?
Oh, geez, she had a nice mink coat on, and oh, God, she was all dolled up, you know, and she had quite a few gold teeth, and they all sparkled a bit all every time she said anything, and had a white hat that was cocked a little bit on one side with a black feather in it, and boy, that just really set her off.
Yeah. You never seen her before.
It's always hard for me to tell one colored one from another one anyway.
Me
Jesus.
Too.
My God, I see them by the hundred, you know, and I can't tell them apart. I've got to be pretty damn well acquainted with them before I can tell them, you know.
Yeah,
me too. I used to think they all had the same names, too.
Good nerd. Jesus.
Yeah.
I know there was one come in to John Palmer's yesterday, you know, and he was a grinning to beat all. And Jesus, I ended up and I slapped him on the back and said, by God, I've seen you somewhere. Yeah, he said, I think you have. I'll help you put the pump down up there. But you know, Jesus, they just about all look alike to me. And old John Palmer, Jesus, they'd come in down there, you know, and John would call every one of them by name.
Yeah. Even from the back, he'd be sitting at the back, he'd know who they were, and they came in the door.
Yeah. I know there was one woman come in here one day, and she wanted to know if she could get trusted for $10 worth of groceries. John says, yes, if you tell me the truth. He said, God, you ain't told me the truth in 10 years. But I happen to know her because she'd worked in the restaurant over here quite a lot, see? Well,
oh.
Somebody like that that I'd seen a good many times in there, well, I know
yeah.
who they are. But.
Yeah. Don't you know John was full of them things? He knew what they were going to tell him before they told him.
Yeah.
And I guess the truth was the last thing he expected.
Yeah. But that's what the trouble was with John, you know. You see, they were 26 of them that he sued in small claims court for money that was owed to him.
Recently?
Yeah. Well, they was out of the 26, they said that there were 16 of them come in and paid up or made arrangements to pay. And the other 10 was madder than the devil. Well, I just got an idea. It was one of them that was madder than the devil was the one that shot John. But you see, John hasn't come to enough to tell them much about it. You see, he'd come to and they started asking him something and he started telling them and he's gone. So he did tell them that he couldn't tell whether they was black or white because they probably had something pulled over their head, don't you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they asked him if he recognized the car and he said he thought so, but it didn't have no license on it.
So they were fixed up for it.
You don't think they just wanted to rob him?
No. No, they didn't stop at all. They were just bent on killing him. See, and they had that buckshot in there, you know, and Jesus, that's a pretty big shot. And I just got an idea they had the gun leveled right at his head and the damn jerk of the car, see, made it come down just a little bit and hit him right in here in the shoulder, see? And went right in and just tore his back right off.
No, they wouldn't use buckshot just to hold a man up.
No.
Uh-uh.
And they didn't stop, you know, if they'd been going to rob him, they'd have stopped and got his money. But they never stopped. They just kept right on going.
He ran into that pole.
Yeah, sure. Broke the pole right off the top of the ground here. I went around that way purpose to see. And then it broke it off right under the wire, see? And that part in between lays out on the ground there.
Oh, really?
Well, then one of the wires snapped off and come down on the car, see? And that's what set it on fire. Well, a fellow that come right along behind him was this Hoot Gibson, and he's an electric light fella. And so he knew just what to do to get that wire off in that car, see? And they got the wire off in the car and put the fire out before they could get John out. Well, then you see, he just talked right in on his microphone there to the power company and told them to send him some help right off quick. See, and so that they sent help right there. Well, then they said the deputy sheriff happened to come along. And, or road patrol or something, one of the, I don't know whether they said deputy sheriff or road patrol or something, but it might be that the, his calling right in on the short wave, they tell her, call it there, why, they might have put somebody in touch who was in this, up in that section, see, to run over there.
Yeah.
And by that time, the people who shot him were way away.
Oh, hell yeah, they were miles away. Now, this morning's paper, there's some fellow from Merritt Island claims that he had been up here to Gainesville for something, and when he come down through Payne's Prairie. He thinks that somebody shot at him because he saw the flash and one thing or another, and he was talking on the on his shortwave radio with some ham operator in Stark, and he told him he thought that somebody had shot at him, and he said, oh, he said, probably somebody threw some firecrackers out of the car window. So whether that fella just wants to get some publicity or whether it's so or not, you don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a heck of a bad go any way you want to put it. Geez, you know, well, a week ago Saturday, they had the auction down there at Orange Lake, and they had this big pipe vice. See, there was a hell of a big one.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
I'd forgotten that.
John needed a pipe vice down there, so I bought that pipe vice, and I took it down. I got down there, and there was some other fellow there, and they were trying to cut threads on a 2-inch pipe. And the old pipe vice had been broke for 3-4 years, and I'd been after John to buy a new vice, and Jesus, you know. He said that they wanted too much. He said that he'd stopped in Ocala down there to Marion Hardware, and they wanted $121 for a pipe vice that he wanted to put on out there. And they were trying to work that on there and trying to hold it in the vice, you know, and the vice kept on catching on the top, and they were having a devil time trying to hold a pipe with a 2-foot pipe wrench, and one was trying to hold the pipe and the other trying to thread it, and they was having a devil of a time. I went out and I said, John, I had the pipe vice in my hand. I said, I got a pipe vice to sell you. He said, how much, Artie? I said, $20. By God, you put it right on the tree, he said. And quick as I helped him get that thread on the pipe there, we got that on there, so then I tore the old vise off from the tree, and I had to chop out a little bit to get a couple plank in there, because a bigger vise, you know, put a couple of plank into the tree there to fasten the vise onto, got that fastened on, and the vise on there, and one thing and another, and John come out, he says, I'm going to pay you, he says, before you get done, because I want you to do a good job, and geez, he gave me $10 for putting that vise on the tree. Yes, sir. And I come out pretty good on the vice. Well.
But you found it for him.
Huh?
You found it for him.
Yeah.
Oh, you got that at the auction.
Yeah, I bought it to the auction, took it down and sold it to John.
Well, how did you happen to get away with that at $20? That ain't much for a pipe vice, Mr. Easton.
No, I know it. That was a hell of a good vice. On the other hand, you know, I hated to sell it to John because I could have used a big vice like that myself. I always had a big one up home.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't get no big pipe pipe down here to thread or anything. Any 2 inches is about the biggest. Well, I've got vices that'll hold a 2-inch pipe. But that was a heck of a nice vice.
Oh, boy.
How'd you happen to get it, Mr. Eaton?
Well, I don't know. There wasn't too many that was interested in it, don't you see?
Yeah. Not many people there?
Well, they were probably, close to 100 people.
Golly, I didn't know that many people went.
Yeah. But down there, one auction they wasn't only... I think there were either 55 or 60 people there, but that was the smallest auction they had.
Have it every Saturday night?
No, that was Saturday afternoon they had it.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Yes. When'd you rather have it, Saturday afternoon or Saturday night?
I'd rather have it Saturday night for me.
Yeah. Then you're free Saturday afternoon to do what you need to do. Miss Eastman, let me tell you, that's an old pipe. It goes from here out to that water thing there, and also on these side hydrants.
Well, how did it get broke?
I don't know. It's close to the ground. The ground's soft there, and it ain't very.
Well, we'll go out and see what we can do with it.
All right. We'll see. I dug it up yesterday. Found out what the trouble was. Let me tell you, that attic fan, I use it, I'm still using it. Of course, I don't use it over 15 minutes at a time. Does that ever need any greasing?
Well, I don't know. I ordered them to put it in up there. But, from what little that you use it there, I don't know if it would need any oil for till next summer.
What would you do? Just put motor oil on it?
Yeah, there's oil holes in it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
And there's no place for grease?
No, it's all oil, I think.
Yes. How many?
Well, I think there's two on the motor.
Oh.
One or two on the fan itself.
Well, it wouldn't hurt. I could get up there and look around, couldn't I? Yeah. Could you look at this this roof up here on this end and say about how many shingles to get?
Yeah.
And the first time we were down to, where would you get them? Scotty's?
Well, I buy a lot of roofing down to Scotty's.
Scotty's or Sears?
Well, I never bought any of Sears. But I think the Sears is a little bit higher than Scotty's.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, the termites got one piece of timber in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could put that in, but I don't know. I haven't gotten a timber to put in. You know, that timber's short in this season.
Gee, the timbers cost money. I bought...
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's what it was.
What you were talking about.
I bought three of them, 2x12, 14 feet long. And you know, they cost me almost over $27, almost $28 for them three plank.
But they're long ones.
Yeah, they're 14 foot.
14 foot, say.
Yeah. Yeah.
12-inch, 2x12 boards. And they look solid, Mr. Eastman.
Mm-hmm.
What are they made of? What are they?
Pine.
Yeah. Well, now you got a workbench there that'll be there.
Hmm?
That's a workbench that'll be right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Is that what you made it for? You got it for?
Right over there in his shed.
Yeah, it's in the southeast corner.
Right in the far corner there. That's a good place.
So any of that lumber, even 2x4, is pretty expensive.
Well, they're not so expensive as a 2x12. But those are really nice. Gee, they were just as straight and nice, you know.
Yeah.
And there wasn't hardly a knot in them.
Yeah.
They were nice lumber.
They ought to be.
But, Jesus, that was an awful nice price, too.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a foot?
Miss Eastman, I forget how many trips you've made up here.
Jesus, I don't know nothing about it.
Well, give me a little estimate.
You got a bigger soul.
Yeah, how about that? You hadn't seen that, had you?
Where'd you pick this one up?
Fellow over at Meganope. How old is that?
God, I wouldn't know.
20 years old?
I wouldn't know. Barnard down there has got one that's, well, it's about, it ain't quite as tall as that, just about that high. Might be a little bit bigger. And it's one of them that's got the fan in it.
Yeah.
Siegler. My Siegler Barnard.
Yeah.
And, God, you know, well, he got it a year ago. Well, this fall.
You mean new?
Huh?
Bought it new?
Bought it new. And it worked nice last winter. Well, he called me over there. Here, oh, geez, it must be about 6 weeks ago, I guess. They couldn't light it. They wanted me to get it going for him when that other cold spell was on.
Yeah.
A month or 6 weeks ago. Jesus, I couldn't get it to go. I couldn't get no oil into it. Well, Jesus, I took the oil pipe off and got oil into the carburetor, but from the carburetor in, I couldn't get nothing. And of course, it's automatic. It got that thermostat on it, you know, and automatic control on there, and the magnetic part of it in there that operates it. I had to take it all off and get all down to the bottom of it. And you know that there's a little round pipe in there, a little bit bigger than a lead pencil. And it's hollow, see? And as it raises up, the higher it raises, the more oil goes in, see? And it's hollow up at the top, so that it won't...
you come in, if you want to.
So that it won't siphon, see? And it works up and down. Well, do you know that thing was stuck down in there, and that magnet there couldn't draw it up or down?
Oh, really?
Why, geez, I monkeyed with that goddamn thing a half a day before I got it so that I could... So that would work in there.
Oh, really?
It was just sort of stuck down there, and it had kind of corroded like right in there.
Yeah.
And there it was.
Yeah.
Well, I got that so it worked, and one thing or another, and by golly, it's been working nice.
And it did that after one season.
Huh? Yeah. See where it sat over summer, that damn thing got stuck right down in there and kind of corroded. But boy, it's a mess to take that apart.
And yes. Gee whiz.
Now I'm in a heck of a job over to Barnard's. They got those Jalousie windows.
Yeah.
And the wind blows in through them.
Oh, yeah.
So I took the screens off on the inside of the house, and I took plastic. I cut the plastic and I laid it right down on the floor. Then I laid that screen over the top of it. And I pulled them edges up over and taped them on the inside of this screen. See? All the way around. Well, then I put that screen back in. And, geez, you know, with that extra plastic in there, it ain't very thick. But it just makes it bind right in there good and tight. I drive it right in with a hammer in there and turn the hooks on it to hold it in. And then I took my knife and trimmed right off and left about half, three quarters of an inch. on it, right straight around, all the way around. Well, you know, you'd be surprised the difference in that one room by putting them on there, like I said.
Yes.
And I was working out the other day when the wind blew hard. Mm-hmm. Boy, when I first started in putting them in out there, I was a-shivering.
Yes.
And, you know, before I got them done, I had to take my jacket off. Yeah.
Well, that's what they keep saying about this fuel shortage, you know. If you'll insulate your house, you won't need much fuel. Well, now, I put these 10 around the...
That makes a lot of difference, too.
Makes a lot of difference.
I put that white tarred paper around my place there.
And you just leave it there?
Well, some of it I left and some of it I took down. I just got it put back up about a week ago.
Yeah. Just in time for the cold spell. That's a little bit too cold for me, Mr. Eastman. It's all right once you get used to it, but I don't have to have it done.
You and I have been away from the north just long enough so we don't get used to it.
Between spells.
I worked one day for the electric light people. It was 50 below zero. And how in the devil us fellas ever stood it working out down that cold like that is more than I know.
I didn't think he could.
Yes, he did.
It'd freeze your nose.
Yeah. But you know, you kept busy and you kept your blood circulating, and we was young in them days and it didn't take too much to keep us warm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was in 20-degree weather one time, and my nose was numb before I got out of the front yard.
Well, one time when I was a young lad, we lived about 7 miles from the city, and they was putting on special movies down at the theater there, and we lived up on the hill about 2.5 miles. Well, I went down and stayed with a fellow downtown who was in my same class in school. And we went in a sleigh ride down to see this movie. Oh, there were two sleighs went. And there were probably 20 in each sleigh ride, see. Well, you know, we'd get cold. And Jesus, the sort of fellow, and I'd get off and walk and run, see, and get warmed up. And the rest of them behind the sleigh, and oh, Jesus, they were freezing. Covered up with blankets, one thing and another. And had quite a lot of straw in the sleigh, you know, for you were in the sleigh rides, probably. And I don't know anything about this girl here, because I don't know where she comes from. But when we got home to this fellow's place to stay all night, he hadn't covered up his ears. And one ear was froze, you know, and it swelled up there. It's about twice as big as your ear ought to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just from sitting in the movie?
Yeah, no, just from being out in that cold, seeing coming home there. It was about 7 miles, 7.5, something like that. And so we went out and got some snow and just rubbed that snow on his ear there, you know, and boy, it'll sting like the old Harry. And he said, well, what about putting some hot water on it? His mother said, no, you want snow on it. So, geez, I kept rubbing the snow on it. And you know, his ear come out all right.
He didn't lose it. But they have done that. They have lost an ear.
Yeah.
Do you ever see anybody who'd lost an ear?
Yeah, but not from that cause. We're on doing threshing one time. He used to go around with the threshing machine, threshing wheat and oats and barley and buckwheat and that stuff. Well, I was on the table, if you know what that means.
Yeah.
You had to have this table, see, and they throw the grain onto the table, and the fellow on the table straightens it around so if the fellow feeding the machine can push it in, see, and you take it where they have these bundles where the wheat or oats has been cut with a reaping binder and then bundled. You straighten it around so that the heads go in first, see? Well, I was always quick, you know, with a forker like that, so everybody wanted me to be on the table to straighten that stuff around. Well, you know, the belt from the engine to the thrash machine broke. Well, it knocked me, it come around, you know, and it knocked me right off on the table. And this fellow that was feeding the machine, it hit him right side of the head, and he took his ear right just as clean off as anything. Just, well, you couldn't have cut it off any better if you had took a butcher knife and just cut it right off. Took it right clean off.
And you was right there.
Jeez, I was right on the table. I got knocked off on the table at the same time that it hit him, see?
But he, I guess he's willing to, it's easier to lose a ear than it was something else.
Yeah, Jesus, he could have knocked him right into the machine, you know, Jesus.
You didn't have any guard on the belt.
You couldn't have.
Yeah. No, put a fence post up there.
Oh, I've seen him do that, too, to keep the belt on when the wind blowed. Sometimes the wind would blow, you know, to beat on, and to blow the belt off, and we'd put a fence post up and so to hold the belt on the pulleys.
Wouldn't that take a pretty strong wind?
You'd be surprised. You know, it runs with a cross belt, see? Well, then
yeah.
Your cross belt, in the middle of it, it's flat.
Yeah.
And that's what the wind whips.
That's something.
Yeah.
Mr. Eastman, let me tell you, before you, have you, but you want me to make this fun?
Before you, what?
How much you want me to make this fun?
Jesus, I don't know. I forgot whether I'd been up here before and after you paid me or not.
You came up here last time and we sat here.
Well, I don't want to pay for sitting here.
No, you did something wrong.
My talk ain't worth that much.
How much equipment you got in this?
Huh?
How much is the...
This out here?
Mm-hmm. How much does the thing cost you?
Let me see. $1.50, $75, $203. Jesus, that job there cost you about $5.
You know, it's ridiculous, Mr. Eastman. How much they charge for a little piece of pipe? There's no sense.
Oh, Jesus.
There's no sense in that.
Well, you know, just here, you know, half-inch pipe is 52 cents a foot. And two-inch pipe is $2.25 a foot. And I've sold lots of two-inch pipe for about 40, 50 cents a foot.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's $2.25 a foot.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. There's no reason for that, is there? There's no reason for that.
And you take your half-inch pipe, it's 52 cents a foot.
Let me tell you. We went over to the beach Saturday. Over there, the closest beach, Crescent Beach.
Yeah.
70 miles
from
here. And we got over past Palatka, between Palatka and Hastings, and there were two or three little vegetable places open. One of them was a beautiful one. It was big. They had a little everything. They had cauliflower and collards and
had a sprinkler on it.
Onions and cabbage, everything right out of their field there. And we got all that stuff. They charged 20 cents a head for cabbage.
Yeah.
And they charged...
Well, cabbage, you go to the store, it's 20 cents a pound.
Yes. Yes. Well, now that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Over there, you see, it just don't get on to them.
Yeah, well, I know where that is because I've been over through there a lot of times.
Well, it's worth taking a trip.
Sure. You got this too damn much.
Well, that's another trip you made up here, Mr. Eastman.
Oh.
I forget what it was. Now, that's just unreasonable. There's just
yeah.
no... hell, those people had beautiful vegetables.
Did you go on out to Crescent Beach?
Yeah.
Are they building it up very much?
Yeah.
I was over there one time. Oh, geez, it must be... 12 or 13 years ago, and we were looking for some people over there that was a relation to Opal. Lived right back of me there. Yeah, we finally found out they lived in one of these Quonset huts. You know what they are? The one side goes straight up and down, and then the roof just comes right around on the other side and right down, all made out of galvanized stuff. Jesus, was way back in the goddamn bushes there, so we had one heck of a time finding it.
I think they're all gone. It's all elegant over there now.
Yeah.
It may not look elegant on the outside, but they it's pretty nice inside.
I used to go over there and get... four or five bags of that white sand over to Crescent Beach for somebody come down from the north and want to take some of that white sand back with them.
Yeah.
Take it back for the kids to play in.
Yes.
Used to go over to, that's about the nearest place that you can get that white sand.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
I was over there, was coming back from there one time and had my daughter and my son-in-law and a couple of her kids with us. An armadillo set right side the road. Well, I've heard that if you take and scare one of them, you know, and touch them with a stick or something, that they'll curl right up in the ball. And we got out, and I was going to make him curl up in the ball, and I found a stick, and he just kept right on rooting the roots there, you know. And I walked up, putting her up to him, and I touched him with a stick. And when I touched him with a stick, I don't believe there's any two men that could caught him, you know, running. My God, man, that thing could really travel when he got started.
Do you ever see a possum run? They can move too, Mr. Eastman.
I killed a possum down home here a couple months ago.
Yeah, in your garbage?
No, he was in the trash burner where I burned papers. I went out to put some papers in there, going to burn them, and this goddamn possum come out.
Yeah.
Well, I picked up a stick and gave him a bat.
Yeah. I thought maybe you'd just take him out and eat him.
No, I took and buried him under the orange tree.
Yeah. Well, he got in the wrong place, didn't he? Yeah. Well, they say possum's slow. Well, I've seen a possum move.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Well, I never seen one run very fast. I've seen them just walk.
Well, they can move. They're not exactly, they're a little awkward looking, like they got a ingrown toenail or something. Let me tell you, Miss Eason, Barbara never heard, Barbara thinks that all this business about finding water is just somebody putting on. I want you to tell just one of those cases. Now, get a new case, Mr. Eastman. Get a case. You did that all over the place.
You never see anybody use a witch stick?
No, I've never
had. We used to take either pear or apple or plum, and you take a crotch like that, see? Well, you take it right in your hand, you bend it over this way, and the other hand bend the other one like that, and hold it up so that it sticks up. Well, you walk around, you get right over water.
Here you stick, except it's broke.
He saved that, didn't he?
It just lay in there. It dried out.
And you take this right, just like... You take it just like that with that sticking up, see?
Uh-huh.
And you come over water and that thing will turn right down, just about like that. Right straight down, you get right over water and it'll point right straight down. And I've hung on to them tight enough so to take the bark right off in your hand and skin the bark right off of the stick. Hold it right on there.
Whereabouts was you when it done that? It's that strong.
Oh, geez, I've had it in a lot of different places like that.
Forever.
I was over one place one time, and generally, where that starts to turn down, from there to where it is clear down is about the distance that you'd have to go down to hit that water.
Oh.
See? And I was on top of one place one time, and it started to go down, and Jesus, and about 10 feet, that went right down like that, you know, to take the bark right off right in your hands every time. You wouldn't have to go in about 10 feet, but Jesus, it was all rock right there, so that you couldn't dig it out. If it had been soft enough so you could dig it out with a shovel, well, a fella could have dug right down there and got a good well or spring or whatever you mind to call it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then there was one time, yep, right, this was right in the village that I helped build a house, and I put in the plumbing and the wiring and one thing another in it, the septic tank, and the outlet to the septic tank got where that it wouldn't drain off, you know, it wouldn't drain out enough there, so we was going to dig a new hole down and fill it with rock. Well, we finally did fill it with rock. But we got down we were down 10, 12 feet, I guess, and we'd been through all different kinds of clay, half a dozen different kinds of clay and stuff. And we struck this rock. It was kind of soft. And this fellow that was working for me says, hand me down the good big bar, he says, and I'll punch this rock and see how solid it is. So I had a big heavy bar in the truck, and I handed it down to him, and where he started a little hole in there, and he kept chipping in that hole, you know, with that bar like that. It had a hole about 3 inches across it, down in there. Jesus, all at once, that bar went right down through it, and the water started coming up. Well, Jesus, here was a 3-inch stream of water, which is coming up 3 feet high. And it's just boiling right up. Well, that fella thought he was going to get drowned in there, and you should heard him holler. Well, you could hurt him for half a mile, you know. Well, I run and got the ladder. We had a ladder for getting up and down in there. Well, I got the ladder down to him. He got out. Well, you know that filled right up with water, just as high as that, about that 3 foot high. So we went and got big rocks by the truckload and dropped them down in there, and we kind of figured on laying them kind of right around that hole, you know, and right along up, so let's leave that hole up in the middle. And I had thought that the chances are, or chances were, that it might pollute somebody's well around there. But by golly, it didn't. We inquired all around and never polluted that darn thing. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, the water that come in there, when the water come in, the water would go out. So
mm-hmm.
We laid that right up around there with that, and when we got up to so that we could get down in there and not get into the water, we put an 8-inch tile right there, and right straight up, and laid one right up top of the other, just like that chimney is right there, see? So right up the middle of that, and you see the water could go down into that tile where one tile sat on the top of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I took and filled that right up like that, and filled it around there with stone, and I've never heard, but what is still working.
Well, now, how'd you get started in that, Miss Eason?
Huh?
How'd you get started into that hole?
How'd you started into it?
Yeah, we were talking about that water witch.
Well, the water witch didn't have anything to do with that hole.
Well, I didn't think, yeah.
No. No, we just started that hole for an outlet of that septic tank.
Yeah.
If I'd have tried a water witch onto that there, before that, we probably wouldn't have dug there, you know.
Yeah. Mr. Eastman, let me tell you. You remember you put a pipe, a drainage, from the tub in here, and that sink, and it runs clear on out to that corner. You remember that? It's an inch and a half
plastic pipe. Yeah.
Well, now down there at that trailer, I meant to do that before. I need a little something to drain that off so it won't keep filling up that tub down there.
Yeah. So what you need is dig a ditch down there and put some tile in it.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Or they have that plastic pipe with a hole in the one side of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, yes. It don't matter about that, yes. Yes. Just so I get a hole there where to get the water out.
That's what that thing was, that tea that I made you that time to go in there. You take and put that in there, see, and that makes
it. Well, let me tell you, let's get that in there.
Huh?
Let's get that in there, right. And you want a drum for that. I forget now how you want a drum with a head on it.
Yeah.
Well, does that have a head on the other end?
Yeah, but you got to have something that's solid, see, so that when you flush the toilet, it'll stay in there and eat up.
Yes.
See, well, I didn't put that tea on there with that down in there so that your solid all stays on top and your water is in the bottom, see, and then that siphon goes on out, and you put the tea on there so they won't siphon.
Put the tea on there so the water will go out.
The water will go out and not siphon.
Well, that's right. Well, we just short one step in that, and then it'd be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what do we need? Just a drum? Just the right kind of drum?
Yeah, just a. Well, I had one of them big paint drums. See, there's a top on them.
Yeah.
Sets down over, you know, and then there's a rim that goes around that holds it down on there, see?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that rim, you can throw the rim away, but the top of it, you see, is what you want to go back on there because you want to come into the barrel in the side like this down, then come out down on the side so that your top will come right down on there, see?
Yeah.
See, so that your top will sit right down on like that.
Well, and we couldn't rig up something like that?
Yes, you got a barrel.
Well, I got a barrel. Don't see it?
Jesus, I find my way home to dinner, too.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Miss Eastman, it's right out there in the garage. I'll be right out there.
Channel 1 right, around 1200, and the end of the visit to Mr. Eastman this Wednesday, the 4th of December, 74. Channel 1 right, around 1200, and the end of the visit, Mr. Eastman, this Wednesday, the 4th of December, 74.